Hello, everybody. Sorry we're a little late tonight. We're experiencing some storms around here. It's been kind of a daily event for the last 10 days. So I think they've passed us a little bit, and we may continue to have some power around here. At least I hope so. In any event, wanted to start off a little bit before I bring our guest on and talk a little bit about where we're headed with the Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. Most of y'all know that last week we had Megan, and I can't even pronounce her name, and that's terrible, on last week, who is the chief family historian for Ancestry and the founder of Roots Television. And, you know, that's the genealogy side. One of the things that Megan and I talked about briefly is how DNA became a very, very empowering part of genealogy. About 10 years ago, I remember announcing to the Jewish Gen community that we wanted to implement a program to use DNA as a way to help find those elusive ancestors when the paper trail ended. And I remember the weekend that we announced this, and it was probably one of the worst weekends of my life, because at that time, 10 years ago, and this was in May of 2000, so it made 9 years ago, it was really not really accepted. But over the last 9 years, it's become very, very, very much used tool in genealogy research. So here we are about 10 years later, and we're going to be talking about DNA again, but this time we're going to be talking about spiritual DNA. And I want to mention that I've always said that genealogy was a spiritual journey, and we all have a spiritual DNA, and that is our personalities and really what our purpose in life is all about. And each one of our ancestors and those that came before us had a purpose for their life and what they were here to do. So in that vein, from my perspective, and I want to talk briefly, is that, you know, for some of us, we have, I have a mother who, for example, was adopted. And for the last 27 years, I have been very, very, very hard-pressed to find out any information about who her natural parents were. And we actually did have my brother tested with DNA and the mtDNA. And interestingly enough, we have made quite a few connections. But the other side of the story is that there is no one of these people that connect with our DNA who is willing to admit that there's a skeleton in their closet of a child that was born out of wedlock in 1929. So in this vein, I have a special guest, and I ran into Rita on the internet actually about a month ago, and she intrigued me for a number of reasons. Number one, not only is she a certified medium, but she is also an artist, and she calls herself the spirit artist, and she actually draws portraits of loved ones from the other side. This intrigued me from my personal point of view, because it would be kind of neat at some point to maybe get an idea of what my mother's natural parents might look like. But Rita is also an ordained minister in the Spiritualist Church in Quincy, Mass. And she's also an author. She's written the Empowering Your Life with Angels, and she's also co-author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Communicating with Spirits. So, Rita, welcome. And, you know, if you remember, we did an interview not too long ago for my article, and you'll have to excuse me. I have rumblings going on in the background, so it's a little annoying for me, but in any event, for my column in The Examiner. And we talked a little bit about the work that you do, and I'd like for you to share a little bit of that with our audience, and we can talk a little bit about my theory of how what you do could be a benefit to genealogists around the world.
Okay, well, good evening. And what I do is people will either call me or come to my office, and I always open it up to them. I say to them, how can I serve you best? Some people are grieving, and they want to connect to a specific loved one. Other times, they're just curious who's around me, and that's sometimes where a lot of the fun, especially in relationship to what you do, can really start. Because sometimes somebody will come in from two or three generations back that people weren't particularly aware of, and they have to do some research, and then they find portraits or photographs of them in a family album, and that will let them know that, yes, in fact, great-great Uncle Frank was there. Or there was a time that Bob Olson from UpSpirit.com called me, and his wife bought him a drawing of a spirit guide for his birthday. And when I did the drawing and I said, okay, I'm seeing a cavalry band, and I went through all of this visual, and then I drew the picture for him, and he got it, and he showed it to his mother, and his mother in a family album took out somebody who was living in approximately 1890 and, in fact, was a cavalryman and looked very much like the drawing that I had drawn for Bob. So it's a fascinating thing that we can do with this, because we can find out a lot about who your ancestors were, what traits they had, what personal traits they had, personality traits they had, as well as what they are coming to tell you. And that's one of the most important parts to me, is that we are not only proving the continuity of life, but we are giving the messages, letting you know that your loved ones are still with you, still communicating with you, still talking to you.
I find it fascinating, because I know there have been several occasions when I've been doing my research that somebody has been around and has guided me to information that I don't think I would have ever found. For example, and this is where the spiritual DNA comes in, and correct me if you know, you think I'm off track, but for example, my mother's mother, who was her adopted mother, her father was out of her life by the time she was like age 3 or 4. And she was told that her father committed suicide. So she spent her whole life, and I know it affected her and it affected her whole being, which again was passed on to my mother, even though it wasn't her natural mother. Mm-hmm. And this whole, you know, disconnect, I think, that my grandmother had with her father. And I was doing some research, and I was getting ready to go to Minneapolis for a meeting, and I just so happened to find a burial record at the cemetery in Chicago, which said that the body was being removed from Minneapolis. And I thought to myself, well, this is pretty cool. You know, I'm going to be there in a week. And I did, and I went up there for business, and I caught a cab, and I went down to the Hennepin courthouse, and I found his death certificate. And he did not commit suicide. It turned out that he apparently married another woman, so they apparently got divorced. He remarried, and he died of natural causes of a heart attack. And it bothers me so, because my grandmother spent her whole lifetime being angry and thinking that her father didn't love her and committed suicide. And it's just really, really intriguing to me. And so, you know, there are things I think that is so important to find out, even through the genealogy, because at least my generation, or, you know, we know the facts, and we know that he did not commit suicide. So
we also talk about that becoming part of your cellular knowledge. In other words, because it was so implanted in your grandmother that her father committed suicide, that became part of her own cellular knowledge, because that's a trauma that she experienced in her life, then affected your mother, and then ultimately affecting you. So each generation still has a piece of that trauma, even though it didn't actually happen. The belief that it did became traumatic for your grandmother.
Right, and that happens in lives. I mean, I'm sure my story is not unique in any stretch of the imagination, and hopefully some of our listeners may call in here in a little bit and may have some interesting stories to share, too. And the other story that I have that was really kind of amazing is I was in New York going through the big cemetery in Queens with my father, who was not real well, and I was looking for my great-great-grandfather's brother's tombstone. And we must have walked around that cemetery for 3 or 4 hours, and I was relentless in wanting to find what I wanted to find. And, you know, my dad was starting to get a little crabby and complain a little bit and getting a little tired. And so I, in my inimitable way, I said, okay, I'm just going to go one more place. And I was just so frustrated because I just really wanted to find it. And I go up this mound to this plot, and I trip, and I fall, and I land right on a tombstone.
Oh, my goodness.
And as I lift myself up off of this cement, and I look down, right there, it was the tombstone I was looking for. I mean, it was just absolutely one of those amazing synchronistic events that, you know, I find that I have too every time I do some research. Is there's something, whether it's a little birdie,
well, you
that's
know, it's,
telling
it's,
me.
It really is ask and you shall receive, and spirit will work with us in that way. In other words, if we're asking for some information and, you know, your loved ones and maybe even the person whose tombstone that was, you know, you're sending the thought out, I want to find this particular person. I want to find this particular tombstone. So you're sending that thought out. And that thought is very tangible. And so you're sending that thought out, and that thought is being received. Okay, so you have done that. Now they have to figure out some way to get you, and excuse the expression, to trip over the tombstone, you know, to be able to say, oh, my God, here it is. Because in all actuality, if you had read every tombstone in the place, chances are you probably wouldn't have found it. So this is one of the things where we say spirit guides us. And I truly believe that our loved ones who have passed on do guide us to find the information or find the way of doing something or, you know, find even, you know, grandma's, you know, Irish soda bread recipe or, you know, whatever it happens to be. They will guide us to find the answers. And, you know, one of the things that we have to remember, which you did in a way that you didn't weren't even aware that you were doing, is you were asking, you know, I really need to find this. I'm searching. I want to find this out. And so you put that thought out to the universe. You put that thought out to spirit. And whether it's your guides or whether it's that particular loved one or somebody connected to that loved one, they guided you to the place to find it. That's gorgeous.
It really is. And the other thing, too, and I know that you were you're a second-generation Holocaust survivor.
Yes.
And, you know, there are so many people who were affected by the Holocaust and were affected in a way where they truly did lose complete, you know, tracking of their families going back, and there are no, you know, the records are gone in a lot of cases, and I really see this in this day and time as a really a new method of trying to break through some of these barriers. I'm curious as to whether or not, you know, you've had any particular clients yet that have come to you with this with the need to try to locate a you know, an ancestor of some sort or trying to...
Many times. I've had people try to locate ancestors. I've had people that have adopted children that wanted to try to find the families. I had one woman that came to me who adopted two little girls from China, and she really wanted to find the families so they could, in fact, at some point when the girls were old enough to connect. And so she brought the map of China, I mean, you know, huge wall map, and I looked at the map, and I said, okay, Spirit, guide me, and I pointed to a spot on the map, you know, with total trust that Spirit was going to lead me in the right direction. And when I pointed to that spot, she said, oh, my God, that's the town that is right next door to the town where I picked up the two girls. And so we said, okay, if you picked up the two girls there, if Spirit gave me that spot, then, in fact, there is some lead here for you to be able to find the parents of your daughters. So I've had situations like that. I've had situations where, you know, on the other side, where a woman came to me one time, and she was adopted herself, and I was doing a spirit drawing for her, and I'm sketching, and I said, okay, I have your mother here, and she said, you know, okay, and I'm giving her some facts. She said, that doesn't sound like my mother, and she never told me she was adopted at that point, and I turned the drawing around, and she said, that doesn't look like my mother, but that's my son's nose, and that's my daughter's lips, and that's, you know, my other daughter's eyes. So she could see the features being passed down from her biological mother, who she never met. And so that's another way that my work has helped to sort of connect to ancestors. And then there are other times where people are just, you know, I want to know about a great-grandmother, or I want to know. But more times than not, Susan, what happens is that the great-grandmother will come in and give me information that they will then go back and research and find it to be true.
Okay, so that's and one of the beauties, and you know, you have a video on your website, which is
www.thespiritartist.com.
Correct. And there is a TV show that you did with Lynn Doyle on CNS, I believe. That is really fascinating. So if anybody out there wants to get an idea of really how Rita does this, it's a fascinating thing. And I also, she also has on her website, and I do on the article on the Examiner, it's called A Blast from the Past is what I did the article on. Some of the sketches are just truly, truly amazing. And the lightness of the individuals, the clothing you had them, you know, wearing, when the pictures were evidently brought back to you, it just really uncanny. So when you get someone and you know, coming through to you, you literally visualize, you really see all their features.
Yeah, sometimes it's an actual seeing. It's almost as if I'm seeing a hologram of them sitting in front of me. Or I'm seeing it in my mind's eye. And many times I'm impressed to do something. Like there's one that's on the website with a woman with a hot pink dress on. And, you know, no matter what I did, that hot pink dress had to be hot pink. And it wasn't that I necessarily thought that she only wore hot pink, but that's what happened. And then, in fact, the family told me that that was her absolute favorite color. And actually, the hot pink came through with two people. And then genetic things can come through. For instance, twice recently, in the last year, I was doing color drawings of particular spirits, and they came through in tones of beige. And I said to the first, you know, because I will then talk to the communicator, and I said to the communicator, why are you just showing me beige? And the what I heard in my mind was, I was colorblind. And I said to the family, I said, you know, the sense that I'm getting is that this person was colorblind because he won't let me pick up any colors. And in fact, they said, you know, he always said he was, but we never believed him. So this came through. And then about a half a year later, again, a similar thing happened, and I said, this is so weird. And I was doing a phone reading at that time, and I said, this is so weird because this has only happened once before, and the gentleman was colorblind. And the woman said to me, well, this gentleman is also colorblind, because the same of not allowing me to pick up the colors to make the tones. So it's, you know, that kind of thing can come through. So it is amazing what will come through.
And so you, not only do you get the images, but then you will also have them say things that they want the person that you're doing the reading for to know.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's something that they might have said, and sometimes it's straightforward. It's a message. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, I'm trying to think of one that, last week I was doing a reading, and the woman wanted to connect to her brother, and we did the reading on the brother, and then she said, is anybody else there? I said, you know, and I described her mother to her, and I said, your mother is here. She said, well, how can I really know my mother is there? And I said to her, your mother is saying to me, if you go into the bathroom and you look at this sink, this tile to the exact right of the sink has a crack in it. She said, you're kidding. Well, while we were doing, so this was a phone reading, while we were doing the phone reading, she got up, she walked in the bathroom, and I heard her say, oh, my God.
You know, it really is truly amazing work. What I want to do, Rita, is I want to see if there's anybody out there that might have a question that they might want to ask you. So
okay.
I'm going to get some numbers and see if anybody has the, I don't know, the guts to call in. I know the genealogist probably, this is a very new twist for many of them. But we'll see. They may find
okay.
it interesting. We have some call-in numbers. Let me give those to you. Toll-free is 888-815-9756. And then we have another number that is not toll-free, but so many of us have free calling anyway, is 530-876-3222. And I don't know about you, but, you know, when I was growing up, my mother always told me that... you know, when it was thundering, God was mad at us. So I don't know what God's so mad about, but he's definitely growling up there and has been most of this evening. And, gosh, we've had so much rain. In any event, now, as far as scheduling readings with you, you can...
All they would have to do is call the office, or they can email, and then Sherry, my assistant, will get back to them. And the office is 781-871-2563, or they can email me directly, which is spiritrita@aol.com, and it's spiritrita, R-I-T-A, or they can just go on the website and all the information is there, again, which is www.thespiritartist.com.
That's great. When you do these readings, you do not have to physically be in the same room.
No, I do. I do probably about half of my readings I do for people that are in other parts of the world, or you know, could be anywhere in this country. I had somebody from Dubai call me a few weeks ago. Somebody from India a couple of days ago. You know, so it can be local, you know, where they come in, or it can be you know, a good distance away. And I'm always fascinated by some local people. Would rather have it on the phone, not have me see anything. So it can be either or.
Interesting. I was going to ask something, and I just lost my train of thought again. My goodness. I know where I was going. There is, you know, so much talk, I guess, in the spiritual community today about, you know, the change in how people are thinking, and that people are really starting to become more open to some of these concepts and thoughts. And I was just curious as to what your feelings are about that.
Well, I think people are much more open to it. When I first started to go to a spiritualist church, which is really the first place I ever heard about mediumship, it was almost underground. You know, people knew about it, you know, they would go to their own place of worship and then sort of sneak in there not wanting the rest of their family to know that they were going to a medium or going to a service where mediumship was going to be dealt with. And, you know, there have been some wonderful people that have been on television. And I'm not talking about the series that are on different weeks. I'm talking about people like John Edwards, people like James von Prague, that were on television shows, that George Anderson is another one, that got out there at the very beginning and were really willing to put themselves on the line at a time when people were not as accepting of this and made it something that is very much part of our culture now. Spirit communication, you know, right now we're on opposite medium. Spirit communication is something that most people at least are aware of. You know, there are some people that say, I don't believe in that, you know, and God bless them. I have no problem with them. You know, you're totally open to your belief. I know what I've experienced. If you want to believe that, that's totally fine. On the other hand, there are so many people that have called me from various backgrounds, and this is part of what fascinates me. You know, I've worked for rabbis, I've worked for Muslims, I've worked for, I went to a convent, and they said they felt something this strange there, and I went into the convent, and I walked around, and I saw a nun that had lived there. I described her. I described where the chair she used to sit in was, because it had been moved since she had passed. She showed me the plant that had been moved that used to be next to the chair. And she showed me that they used to play cards, and coming from Jewish background, you think all nuns do is pray. So, you know, I said, I didn't know nuns could play cards, and they laughed at me and said, well, yes, they can, you know. And so, you know, it was just a wonderful experience. So if you think about the fact that I was in a convent doing spirit communication, that in itself is pretty wild, you know, and it shows how much more accepting place, you know, people have become. We've been almost inundated in a lot of television shows with spirit communication, even shows that are not usually about spirit communication are many times having a little bent, or will say things like, you'll feel him with you, or, you know, even though he's passed, you'll know he's around. And, you know, so there again, that's part of spirit communication.
When you mentioned that you get calls, I would suspect that what you do can be done across any language barrier that there would be. I mean,
You know, that's a fascinating thing, because, I mean, I like when they can talk to me if they can speak English, you know. So at least I understand what they're saying, and I guess we're pretty lucky that, you know, around the world there's a good large number of English-speaking people. But one of the things that's very fascinating is when somebody who spoke no English will come through from spirit, and I'm talking about what they were like, what they looked like, you know, doing the drawing of them, you know, and I also want to let you know, not everybody wants a drawing, so I do both. Sometimes I will just do a straight reading. But you get an impression in your mind, it's of what the person is trying to say, even though they never spoke their language. Which, if you imagine like an old sci-fi show where they would go to another civilization and somehow everybody's speaking English, you understand what I mean?
Right.
I'm not saying everybody on the higher side speaks English. What I'm saying is there is a way that they convey the words that they're trying to say into your mind as an impression, so you can then say it to the person so they can understand it. And there are some mediums who will actually pick up other languages and actually speak in other languages that are recognizable. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues, that are recognizable to the person receiving the message. I don't have that gift. So.
Now, your book on the Complete Idiot's Guide
to communicating with spirits.
I mean, is this something that people, you know, normal people who are not formally trained, is that basically what this book is geared toward? I mean, is this something?
The book is very much a learning book. And okay. So, you know, I would say that anybody who is interested in spirit communication, that this will give you a guide to begin to learn about it. And even exercises to have you start to try it. But I would also say that if you are truly interested in developing your skills, get a good teacher. I mean, I really think it really is important to be able to work with somebody that can really decipher whether or not it's your imagination or whether or not it's a communication from spirit. That, you know, sometimes when I'm working with beginning students, that's a question that I ask a lot. How do I know this is real? And that's, when you're working in a class, you know, if I am giving, you know, connecting with my own loved ones, that's a wonderful feeling, and it's delightful, and we can talk about how to know the difference between a dream and a visitation and so on and so forth. But when I'm working with somebody whose family I don't know, and or working with a student to train them, and then this other person says to them, oh, my God, that's incredible, that's exactly what they were like, then, in fact, there is information there that lets the student know that this is not my imagination, but that this is coming from the spirit world.
But if you were, you know, in genealogy, for example, and let's just say I decide that, you know, I want to, you know, meditate a little bit and see if I could, you know, get something that might mm-hmm. give me some guidance.
Right. That you could do.
That I could do. And
the way I would suggest to do something like that is have a pad and a pen ready, or a notebook and a pen, and say the name of the person that you are hoping to connect with. What I do when somebody says to me, I want to connect to a specific person, which, again, happens a lot when people are grieving, and what I do is I ask Infinite Spirit God, you know, and then if I was reading for you, that Susan's Most High Guides would come in, that all that come in is healing, helpful, evidential, recognizable, proving the continuity of life beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, say you asked for your Uncle Morris, okay? So I said, if Uncle Morris is here, let me see him, let me feel him, let me experience him. And then I would start to describe to you what I was getting. So if you were doing it on your own, and say you were looking to connect with somebody that was two or three generations back that you didn't know, you could do the same type of thing where you could say, you know, always ask that everything that comes for the highest and best. You always want to ask that God's love and light be around you. There's no question about that. But then what you want to do is you want to start to say, okay, I'm trying to research my great-great-great Uncle Max, okay? And so you're saying that I want Uncle Max to come in. Please help me to find the information. Help me to find where I can locate the information. Give me something. Let me share with you. I had a friend quite a few years ago that used to do a lot of research on spirit communication. And she would go to spiritualist libraries in England, and she would call me before she went, and she'd say, Rita, I'm looking for such and such a fact. Where can I find it? And I would describe what the book jacket would look like and what shelf it would be on. So spirit would give me that to give her. And then she would go, and undoubtedly she would call me back and say, I can't believe it, I found the book.
Really?
So, you know, for you, Susan, in doing the work that you do, you can ask to be guided just as you tripped over the stone, okay? You can, the tombstone, you could ask to be guided to the place that you can find. You can be asked to, if you are somebody who hears, you can be asked to be told where you can look, what you need to Google, you know, whatever it happens to be, you ask how you can locate this information, and you go from there.
Well, I mean, I know for a fact that I have seen over and over and over again, you know, people telling stories of how they just happened upon, you know, finding some relatives that are finding a relative, and, you know, and in some respect, I don't believe it just happened.
There are no accidents.
You know, I think that that somewhere there was a message that came to them that sent them, as you said, to a specific place to Google or
exactly,
you know, to go Google something that they hadn't thought about Googling, or Googling it in a certain
right
way that they've never thought about doing. And, you know, some of the things, too, that I've seen happen is that you see things very visual, and you have the obviously the training and the experience. But some of us who are not trained like you are get hints, and it can be in funny ways that it doesn't initially make sense. I mean, you know, it might be, for example, I remember years ago, and I mean, this is not new to me, Rita. I used to meditate back in the late 70s, and it was called Alpha Meditation at the time, and used to do readings with friends, and it was very interesting. But there was a particular case that we were working on, and I got a bell pepper and a gold nugget, okay?
Yeah.
Now, that was my imagery. I mean, and this is where, you know, the complete idiot's guide comes in, is, you know, how do you make sense of a bell pepper and a gold nugget? And it turned out that the situation was is they were trying to determine what business to go into, whether they wanted to go into the jewelry business or into the grocery business.
Oh,
and
how funny.
It was funny, and I mean, I've always remembered that as one of my most interesting, because that's about as far as I went. I could never have said, now, are you just trying to decide whether you want to go in the grocery business or the...
But that's something that is very much how a medium would receive it. You know, they will give you information. I was doing a reading for a woman one day, and, you know, brought her father through and said, you know, your dad was a baker, and I can tell that because he's showing me a pan of pastries. And she said, well, my father was a baker, but he was a bread baker. And I went back to the communicator, and I said, he's showing me pastries, not bread.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and now most of the time, we I got a baker. I'm happy enough with a baker, right?
Right.
And she went home, and she talked to her mother, and she said that her father had always wanted to be a pastry baker, but couldn't get a job doing it. So here was Dad showing me the pastries, because that's what was important to him. So, you know, even little idiosyncrasies like that, or little details like that, the communicator from Spirit will give, and it gives information. So this is a fact that she did not know about her dad. You know, and again, the same kind of thing is you got, you know, is it going to be a grocery store or is it going to be a jewelry store? This is a piece of information that many family members might not have, especially younger generations. And so here is the information, and you're giving it to them, and you got it that clearly. And that's what Spirit does. They will give you the hints to get you to say what it is that will prod your mind to say that. You understand what I mean by that?
I certainly do understand.
Okay.
And the hardest part, I think, of being able to receive is, it's not that we don't receive the information. I think everybody's receiving.
I think everybody does receive, absolutely.
All the time. It's the fact of how we make the information out, and turn it into something that gives us the information that we're actually looking for.
Right, and this is where we have to get our own mind out of the way. You know, in mediumship they use the term coloring the information. If I would take the information and you told me it was a green pepper and I'd say, oh, they're trying to open an Italian restaurant, and they weren't Italian, you know, it would be, you know, we're coloring the information. But what I train my students to do is, okay, if you got a green pepper, then go back and say, and the gold nugget, then go back to the communicator, meaning the deceased person, and say to them, okay, what is this that you're trying to tell me by the gold nugget and the green pepper? What is this? What's the information that you're trying to get across to me from this? Why are you showing me the green pepper? Why are you showing me the gold nugget? And then get as much detailed information as you can. Every medium has very different gifts. But one of the things that, I had a wonderful teacher who's still teaching in England, whose name is Glyn Edwards. And Glyn used to give us an assignment. And one of the assignments was, if you've got grandmother here, then ask her to show you her front door. And what's the number on her front door? And now ask her to walk you down to the end of the street. And what does the street sign say? And give me her address. So, you know,
wow.
You know, and again, Glyn is a master at coming up with information like that. So you look at something like that and you talk about genealogy. If you could connect to somebody, and again, everybody's got different gifts, you know, that's one of his fortes. But if you take something like that where the work that you are doing and you get a medium like Glyn who can focus in and work with that communicator and get the address, then in fact you're narrowing down where that, you know, obviously with an address, where that person lived. And then could possibly get that much more information that you are looking for, you know, not only via the spirit communication, but then many times it can be substantiated through town hall records or something, you know, or whatever.
Right. And then once you have that one little piece of information that you know, you're able to get, it can open up, you know, the floodgates.
Right. I mean, you can run with it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's, because so many of us, and I mean, even myself, I mean, like I've already mentioned that, I mean, my mother, I mean, I've researched her adopted line only because from our spiritual DNA, that's where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
From the physical DNA, we have no connection whatsoever.
Right.
But I think the spiritual DNA is almost more important than the physical DNA.
I agree with you on so many. I mean, other than, well, I won't even say other than doctors, you know, what doctors need to know, because
right.
What we know about the mind-body connection, that we don't have to take on some of the propensities of illnesses that our biological parents had, we can overcome them. And so if you do not have some of the same emotional baggage that particular group of people had, then in fact you may not take on some of the same illnesses. Do you understand what I mean by that?
I certainly do.
Okay. So, you know, the spiritual really is, you know, who and what the people are that loved and nurtured you. And, you know, that coming through, and what we were talking before about, the, you know, the emotional DNA, that coming through really shapes who and what you are.
It really does. And, you know, it's interesting, and my brother might not be very happy with me one of these days, but we were having a little conversation over the weekend, and there were some things that went on that I was very surprised to hear really upset him growing up. And I saw it a totally different way, and he saw it a totally different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to, I was very, you know, I started thinking about it a little bit, and I realized that he had not forgiven them for some things that evidently happened. And, you know, I guess when I started on my journey in genealogy, which, as I mentioned earlier, was a spiritual journey, mm-hmm. it was, but the more I started to learn about the family and why my mother was who she was and what, you know, wrapped her whole being to do some of the things that she did, which, you know, passed down to me, and why I, you know, chose to do things totally different than the way she did it because I didn't like what she did. It didn't mean she was wrong. It just meant that, you know, I had, in my own mind, to basically forgive her, you know, and for what she went through and what her mother went through. And by doing that, I began to realize how much I started to really understand myself in a whole different light. And I think that this whole thing of forgiveness, and, you know, I know so many of us carry, you know, baggage of things that happened in our lives, whether it was, you know, a business partner, a marriage, or things that happened, you know, like the Holocaust or some other type of thing, that we carry that down and we don't forgive. And that anger and that we carry with us is what I think really makes us sick.
It is. It controls us. It consumes us. And when, you know, one of the things that, you know, I'm listening to you talk, Susan, one of the things that I'm finding so fascinating is, you know, in being the child of an adopted child, it's, you know, I'm somebody who strongly believes that we contract for what we're supposed to go through, for what we're supposed to learn. And, you know, even though your mother and grandmother were not biologically connected, it was an adoption. On the other hand, on some level, on the higher side before they came together to know that certain things had to be learned in this lifetime. And I truly believe that, you know, even you being born to your mom who had some of these issues, you know, if you came to this earth to learn about forgiveness, then in fact you accomplish that. So that spiritual piece was accomplished by you learning that, so you selected a mom that you'd have to forgive. In your brother's case, whatever his lessons are that he came to this life to learn, he may learn it here, he may learn it when he gets to the higher side and does, you know, what we call a life review. But if, in fact, his lesson maybe was to, you know, in his case, to stand up and say, no, I'm not accepting it, you can see why two people in the same family with the same parents have such a different response to what happened. Do you understand what I mean by that?
I certainly do understand, and that's what is so fascinating. And you take it down to the whole process of genealogy, and you look at, you know, families and siblings and the children of siblings, and, you know, how their whole lives are totally different. I mean, when I started doing my research, my father's family came from Lithuania. There wasn't a soul in my immediate family that knew where in Lithuania they came from.
Mm-hmm.
I had to research my great-grandfather's brother's children to find the birthplace. Nobody knew. I mean, yeah. my second generation didn't know.
And I understand that because, you know, in sometimes the stories that they went through are so painful they didn't want to talk about it, which happened in my family.
Right.
And sometimes they, you know, and my parents used to have a saying, if we want you to know, we'll speak English. And so, you know, a lot of Yiddish was spoken in the house and a lot of broken English, but, you know, when they spoke to us, it was in English. So it was only when all the relatives were over that you heard full conversations in Yiddish all the time, you know. And, you know, but unfortunately, you know, like many things were not told and passed on, you know, that language was not passed on in a way that might have been quite wonderful if it was. So, you know, the facts, you know, I feel very blessed because my children, as a homework assignment when they were in junior high, were asked to do an immigration report on their family. So each one of them sat down with my parents and asked their story. And it was fascinating. And some of the facts I had never heard. So even though, you know, they knew it, they never even thought to tell us the stories. But when my children had to write about it, then the stories were told. And I thought how lucky we were to be able to actually hear the stories.
And how, I mean, did it not change the way your children thought about them?
Not only them, the way I thought about them.
Right.
You know, because when you understand what somebody went through, you know, my father was a stowaway. You know, three times. You know, he came to the country twice, was a stowaway twice, and then the third time came legally. Because he was sent back every time he came. So, you know, if you think about this.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing. So, you know, here, you know, there are times that I remember many years ago seeing their fear, and I couldn't understand what they were afraid of, and thought, you know, what's wrong with them? But then after hearing their stories, you then understand what they're afraid of. You know, so it explains a lot of their ways, you know, and a lot of the way they tried to even, I want to say sometimes even control what we did in life because they were afraid for us. You didn't get out there. I happen to be a very outspoken person. Well, that scared the heck out of my parents because being too outspoken was something that got, you know, especially Jewish people, in trouble. So, you know, their thing was stay under the wire, don't speak out too much, so on and so forth. And so I could see, once I understood what they had gone through, I could see why they so wanted me to fit into the box. Unfortunately, they never found a box that fit. So, you know, you can only imagine that at some point it caused some discussion, shall we say, in my household.
Right.
But, you know, I can understand now why and what and, you know, where if I had never heard their stories, I wouldn't have.
Right, and I know that I'm that square peg that we try to put in the round hole.
Yes, put in the round hole, and it just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. But you know, now I, you know, this is really why I, you know, and my whole being today has really changed its focus. I mean, the genealogy is so much a part of my life and has been for 27 years, but the whole spiritual connection that I believe we make with our ancestors as we progress down the journey of doing our genealogy
mm-hmm.
is really where this, you know, genealogy and spirit do connect. And I think it's so very important today that, you know, the genealogy is, you know, done in at a younger age, and that, you know, kids start to understand a little bit more about, you know,
right,
where they came from and where their friends came from and the differences in the lives and why their friends of a different ethnic culture, you know, do things that are different than the way they do it. And not that it's wrong or bad. It's
right.
You know,
it's just different. And the other thing with genealogy that is striking me now as you're talking is, you know, say you find out some information about, you know, a great-grandmother, and then you connect with a medium, or, you know, if you do the work yourself, you connect to this great-grandmother, and it's not just a story. She becomes a person, and you feel her. You experience her. You feel what it would feel like to sit and talk to her. And that is, that takes it to a whole other level.
It does. And that's how I feel when I've done my genealogy, is that, I mean, I have felt that. I mean, it has not just been a date and a name and a place. I mean, it has been understanding and feeling and, you know, who these people were. And then the more and more I understood them, I understood me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, believe us or not, our time is about up.
Well, it's been delightful. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you. Again, this is Rita Berkowitz. Her website is www.thespiritartist.com. Artist.com. And I'm Susan King, and my website is www.susaneking.com. And next week, we are going to have kind of a little walk down memory lane with Myra Vanderpool Garmley. We're going to talk about genealogy the way it was back in the 1980s and how different it has become in the last 2 decades. And Rita, thank you so much. And
oh, you're so welcome.
I can't
pleasure.
Wait. One of these days, we're going to find my mother's parents.
Well, one of these days, we can work together and do it, okay?
I would love to. Thank
okay.
you so much.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.